can use the very problem you're in to make his unique presence known.
Dr. Tony Evans says even in the dark times, we need to keep trusting the Lord and fearing him.
The question of fearing God is, will you believe his word when the circumstances are contrary to you?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Most of us have experienced a sleepless night where it seems like morning will just never arrive. Periods of our life can be like that too, but Dr. Evans says we can find treasure even in the darkest times. Let's join him as he explains.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The fear of the Lord is your stability and treasure in difficult times." That the way you stabilize life when it is tumultuous, uncertain, and difficult, the equalizer, he says, is the fear of God. We've studied that in the book of Malachi when we talked about taking God seriously. That's the definition of fearing God. It means taking God seriously as opposed to casually. When it's smooth, it's easy to take God seriously because there's nothing competing for your emotions. This well-known story in Mark chapter 6 comes at the end of Jesus feeding the 5,000. He comes at the end at verse 44. Jesus has taken some sardines and crackers and fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So that means he's fed close to 20,000 people with sardines and crackers. Keep that in mind. Jesus fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with some sardines and crackers. And you thought you were Poe. Verse 45 starts off with the word immediately. In other words, right after the need was met, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida while he was himself sending the crowd away. Jesus gives the benediction. He's sending the crowd away. And watch this now. He made his disciples. Didn't ask, didn't request, didn't instruct. He insisted. You guys go across the water to the other side while I take care of dismissing the crowd. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain, verse 46 says, to pray. He sends them away. He gives the benediction. And he says to them, "I'll catch up with you later." He goes to the mountain to pray. A problem arises in verse 47. When it was evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth hour watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. Now, I could go for an extended amount of time right there. Let's review. These disciples were only in the water because Jesus made them go in. This was not a volunteer trip. This was an insisted trip. Jesus made them get in the water to take the boat to the other side. What's my point? I'm saying these disciples were in the perfect will of God. They weren't carnal. They weren't rebelling. They weren't resisting. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. He said, "Get in the boat, go to the other side." But when they got in the boat to go to the other side, a storm broke out. A storm broke out in the middle of God's will. Some people would say, "Well, if you're in God's will, it won't rain. If you're doing what God told you to do, there'll be no storm." Sometimes you haven't seen rain until you're in the will of God. They are smack dab in the will of God, doing exactly what God told them to do, and a storm breaks out. It says they were straining at the oars. In other words, They were trying hard to obey. They weren't just casually saying, if I do it, I do it. If I don't, I don't. It says they were straining. Straining means they were exerting extra energy to get where they were going. In other words, they were trying to obey. Have you ever been trying to obey and being resisted by your circumstances? It's not that you don't want to do what God wants you to do. It's just so hard. I'm just straining. I'm just trying to get there. I'm trying to obey you. I'm trying to bring my emotions intact. I'm trying not to do what you asked me not to do. And it's hurting me because I'm straining, trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying with all I've got. It says they were straining at the oars. Oh, but it gets worse. He says it was the fourth watch. The fourth watch is 3 to 6 a.m. In other words, it's dark. You can't see. So they're out there. When he dismisses them, he dismisses them in the daytime because the crowd has been there listening to him teach. They didn't have a place that was lit. So they have been out there now. If the fourth watch is 3 to 6 in the morning and it was daylight when he sent them out there, they've been struggling for a minute. Trying to make it, trying to do exactly what God asked them to do. And now it's dark. So they're in God's will, doing the best they can and not getting anywhere. For the wind was contrary to them. But we're introduced to a very subtle statement. It says, seeing them straining at the oars. See, I could tell somebody missed that because if you'd heard it, you'd have said amen. Seeing them straining at the oars. Wait a minute. I just thought I read Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. Jesus, they are 3.5 miles out. It's dark. But Jesus, seeing them straining at the oars. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus knows where you are. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows you're trying the best you can. He knows you're giving it all you've got. He knows that the wind is stopping you from getting to where you want to go. He knows you're considering turning around. It says he was watching them. Straining. He was watching them going, He was seeing the tears that run down the eyes. He was feeling the pain and the anguish of being out there that long and being tired. He knew what it was like to be halfway and stuck. What I'm trying to say is he knows where you are. Why was he watching them in the dark? See, when it's dark and it's midnight in your life, and you're just doing the best you can, you're straining as hard as you can, you're doing all you can, but you're getting nowhere, nothing is breaking for you. Jesus is acutely aware of where you are. We're told something in this passage. It says, he went up to the mountain to pray. He's praying that your faith fail not. That the toughness of the situation doesn't cause you to turn the boat around. That the toughness of the situation doesn't cause you to give up. That the toughness of the darkness of the moment doesn't make you throw in the towel. Jesus' prayer is that your faith fail not. At the end of verse 48, he came to them walking on the sea. He told them to go to the other side. They could have argued, let's go back to Jesus. Because Jesus stayed on the land. But if they went back to Jesus, they would have had to disobey Jesus. Because Jesus told them to go to the other side of the water. So if they would have turned it around and gotten spiritual, we too far from Jesus. Let's turn this boat around. Because it's hard out here in the middle when the wind's contrary against us. Let's go back to Jesus. They could have gotten real spiritual. But if they would have gotten that spiritual, they would have had to disobey. Because he told them, keep going to the other side. But what verse 48 says is, he came to them. But it tells you more than that he came to them. It says he came to them walking on the water. Let me say that one more time. He came to them walking on the water. Now I know you're asking. You say, why do you keep repeating that? That he came to them walking on the water. Because I thought the water was the problem. I thought the water was the issue. I thought the water was causing the conflict because there was a storm and they were straining and the water was the problem. In other words, he came to them on the very problem they were dealing with. Do you know why you shouldn't turn your boat around? When you're in God's will, doing the best you can? Because your problem may very well be the staircase that God uses to make his entrance known to you. Amen. God may need the problem to take the trip. Because trust me, if somebody is walking on water, you know that ain't normal. God can use the very problem you're in to make his unique presence known. So he's walking on the water. Verse 48 says, and he intended to pass them by. He's walking on water, and he intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea and supposed that it was a ghost, they cried out. In other words, they were scared. The reason why they're scared, they didn't expect Jesus to show up like this. See, the worst thing you can do is box God in to how you think he ought to come through for you. The worst thing you can do is box God in and think that if he's going to show up, it must be like this. Because that's the only thing my mind can conceive of. They could not conceive that he would show up walking on the very problem that was causing them the very difficulty that they wanted to get out of. Jesus came to them on the problem and they couldn't imagine. They thought it was a ghost. He says in verse 50, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Now wait a minute, there is a storm. Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. He spoke, but there's still a storm. In other words, he calmed them down with his word before he changed their circumstance. He let them hear his word before he changed their situation. It is I. We said that the treasure, Isaiah 33:6, is the fear of God. We are afraid of the wrong thing. We give more weight to the circumstance than to the God who can walk on it. Turn your Bibles back 2 pages to Mark 4. A similar story. Verse 35. And on that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. See, let's go over to the other side. This time he's with them. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. See, it's the same situation. And the waves were breaking over the boats so that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He got up and rebuked the wind and the sea. Hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? While Jesus is napping, the storm breaks out. The Greek word is lilac. A lilac is a windstorm over in the Sea of Galilee. It roughs the water up because the Sea of Galilee is in a basin surrounded by mountains. And the sea whipped up the storm, and the storm was tumultuous. And they looked over, and the Savior they're trusting in is snoring. Have you ever felt Jesus snoring on you? You in a crisis, and he's asleep. You're not hearing anything from heaven. In fact, they go over to him and say, "Teacher, carest thou not that we're dying?" And it feels like that sometimes when you're in the middle and everything is contrary and you can't make contact and you're right smack dab in the will of God because he told you to get in the boat. They wake him up and say, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus said, "Why are you so timid? Why you want to give up on me this quick? Why are you so timid?" I can hear Peter now. Oh, maybe because we're getting ready to die. You know, the boat's filling up with water, Jesus. Oh, ye of little faith.
Why would Jesus say that to his disciples? Well, Dr. Evans will tell us when he continues our message in just a moment. Stay with us.
Living a life of blah. You know, that life where the struggle is your daily reality. Relationships are strained and addiction has you to just going through the motions. Change it. Dr. Evans' 5-CD series, Treasures in the Darkness, shows you how to get back to living with strength and satisfaction. Also included is Dr. Evans' popular booklet, 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior. Let Tony get personal with you as he guides you toward the life you always hope for. Get both at TonyEvans.org.
30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior spells out the principles and practical steps that'll lead you to the freedom you've been longing for, breaking it all down into daily doses of encouragement and inspiration. This insightful book is the perfect resource for people who've been disappointed by worldly solutions and are ready to try some time-honored biblical truth. And we want you to have it with our thanks for your gift toward Tony's ministry. And if you contact us right away, we'll also include full-length CDs and digital downloads of his current 5-part teaching series, Treasures in the Darkness, as a special bonus. We can only make this offer available for a short time, so be sure to contact us today at TonyEvans.org to make your contribution and request. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by around the clock to assist. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. And now let's get back to our message. Here's Dr. Evans.
Why would Jesus say to them, "O ye of little faith"? Because before they left, he said, "Let us go to the other side." But their circumstance, the storm, made them forget what Jesus had said. The question of fearing God is, will you believe his word when the circumstances are contrary to you? Will you believe what he said when things are not working out like he said? The only reason you won't believe it is because it looks like the circumstances are bigger than he is. Notice what he said. He said, the New American Standard says, "Hush, be still." The King James Version says, "Peace, be still." Well, wait a minute now. If peace is going to be still, that means peace is moving. I thought a storm was moving. Listen, if you're in a storm and you're in God's will, it's peace that's moving. It's peace in motion. Why? Because God never tells you where he's going to take you without getting you to where you're going, even though there may be interruptions along the way. If they really would have believed his word, when they saw him on a pillow, they would have gotten their pillow too, and all of them would have been snoring. Because they would have feared him more than the circumstances. It's going to rain. Some will be light showers, others will be thunderstorms. Some will be quick showers, others will last for a while. But what I want to submit to you is no matter how big your storm gets, God is bigger. And that is your treasure for troubled times. Now back to chapter 6. He says, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them. The wind stopped. Okay. The wind did not stop until he got into the boat. Remember, he intended to pass them by. So it wasn't until there was intimacy of relationship that circumstance changed. It didn't change when they heard his word. It is I, do not be afraid. That's the word. But it didn't change the circumstance until there was intimacy of association. You can hear the word all day and feel better because you've heard the word. But until there's intimacy of relationship, is there change of circumstance. He got in with them. Now, see, first of all, they heard from him. But now he got in with them. So the word became a living relationship of closeness with them. They were utterly astonished. They were shocked. Verse 51 says, why were they shocked? For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves because their heart was hardened. They're 5,000 men, not counting women and children. That's 20,000 people. All Jesus has is sardines and crackers, a couple of fish and some barley loaves. That's all he's got. What did Jesus do when he faced a trial where there was too little for too many? He didn't have enough to feed one, more or less 20,000. But the text says he blessed what he had. It wasn't nearly enough, but he blessed it. Jesus says, if you would have paid attention to what happened yesterday with the 5,000, you would have been blessing me in the middle of your situation. You would have been praising me in the middle of your mess. You would have been glorifying me even though you're stuck in the middle of the ocean if you were paying attention. Now, as we conclude, there's one more part to the story. When you hear theologians or Bible scholars or students refer to the synoptic gospels, they're referring to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not John. Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell basically the same stories in different ways from the perspective of those authors. This is an exception to the rule. For while all three tell this story, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John tells this story too, where he doesn't tell the other story. Because he wants you to know something that the other three don't tell you. Turn to John chapter 6. The story begins in verse 15, the very same story. Verse 16, and when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into a boat, they started across the Sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, you see, and Jesus had not come to them because he was in the mountain praying. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. Same story. Then they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, so it's 3.5 miles or so. They saw Jesus walking on the sea. So far, the same story, drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. They thought it was a ghost. It's the same story. Verse 20, but he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. The same story. In verse 21, the story changes. So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. That information isn't in Matthew. That information isn't in Mark. That information isn't in Luke. Mark told us that Jesus was walked on the water and he intended to pass them by. But then Mark tells us he got in the boat. But we don't know why he got in the boat till you read John. John 6:21 says he got in the boat because they invited him into the boat. They asked him to come into the boat. They weren't satisfied with the word. They wanted the person in the boat. And when they invited him into the boat, guess what the verse says? Immediately, they had arrived at the destination they were going. But wait a minute. I thought the story said they were 3 to 4 miles out. They were 3.5 miles out. But as soon as Jesus got into the boat, they had arrived at the destination that they were going. Jesus wanted them to see he can cover a lot of distance in a little bit of time if you will let him get close to you. If you will not only hear his word, but pursue his person, he can cover 3.5 miles in 3.5 minutes if you draw near to him. But if you don't invite him in, he will pass you by, because he doesn't just want you to have information. He wants you to have relationship, and that relationship changes your scenario. Somebody ought to praise the Lord in spite of what you have to face, because God can change stuff immediately. Immediately.
Are you ready to change your scenario and experience a real-life relationship with Jesus? Here's Dr. Evans to explain how it can happen for you right now.
If you've been listening to our broadcast and you have not personally trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins so that he can give you the gift of eternal life right now, I want you to go to God and transfer your trust from any and everything else except the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and arose from the dead. In fact, I'm going to say a little prayer and you can repeat it after me. You just have to mean it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross in my place for my sin, and I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and to give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone who came to him for it. Thank you for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Congratulations. Welcome to the family. God bless you.
We encourage you to get involved in a good Bible-teaching church so you can grow. We also invite you to visit us at tonyevans.org and click on the link that simply says Jesus. You'll find some downloadable resources to help get you started in your new life, along with some encouraging personal comments from Tony. TonyEvans.org is also the place to go for details on getting Tony's current teaching series, Treasures in the Darkness, a compilation about unpacking your full potential, finding help when you feel helpless, and refusing to settle for less than God's best. The series is filled with key biblical principles and loads of encouragement, so we'd like you to have the CDs and digital downloads of all 5 full-length lessons with our thanks when you make a donation to help support Tony's ministry. And as a reminder, for a limited time, we've packaged this together with his popular book, 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior, but only if we hear from you before this offer runs out. Contact us right away at tonyevans.org to get the details and to make your contribution and request. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222, where friendly members of our resource team are standing by around the clock to help. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, next week, Dr. Evans will begin a fascinating series on the power of Jesus' names. The Bible uses several of them, and each of them tells us something significant. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.